Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
If you would, find the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles and go to chapter 14. And we're going to start there this morning and just share some things that are the Lord put on my spirit to talk about today that are pretty important to us as individuals. So we will begin in 1 Chronicles 14. And I just want to read a verse there. David, getting ready to face some enemies. He seemed to have that in his life. But he won. Hallelujah. Amen. He won. Praise God with the Lord's help. And here he is. He's facing the Philistines again. And verse number 11, 1 Corinthians Chronicles 14. You got it? How many got it? All right. Verse 11. It says, so they came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, the Philistines. Then David said, God has broken in upon, or through, literally, my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth, or the breaking through, or the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Now, the name Baal-perazim, just, it means the Lord of breakthroughs. The Lord of breakthroughs. Let me read that to you out of another translation before we get going here. And this is out of, let's see, what translation is this? The NLT. It says this, So David and his troops went up to Baal-perazim and defeated the Philistines there. God did it, David exclaimed. Hallelujah. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So they named the place Baal-perazim, which means the Lord who busts through. Hallelujah. God busts through. I mean, you know, water's powerful. You know, I remember watching that terrible tsunami, I think it was in 2005, that hit Indonesia and saw some footage of the water coming ashore. I mean, it just took everything in its way. I mean, just houses just swept everything away. Because water's really powerful. I mean, it's powerful. And David said, God broke through my enemies like a flood breaking through. And he used me to do it. Hallelujah. I mean, it's always a combination of you and God. Well, it's generally a combination of you and God. Maybe not always. But, you know, if we're going to have, and here's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk to you about, and I wish everybody that belonged to this church was here. And if you're not here, I hope you're streaming today because you really need this message this morning. You know, I don't say stuff like that often, but I am today because I really believe it. So you really, you know, look, put your, if you're streaming with us, put your eggs down and listen. Now, listen, I want to talk to you about praying for personal breakthrough. You know, because everybody needs breakthroughs, right? If you don't need one now, you're going to need one. And if you don't need one now, you probably did need one before, or you will need one. And here's the thing. Too many of God's people don't get them. And God's a God of breakthrough. He's a God of breakthrough. So why don't we? Well, I want to talk to you about how to pray for a personal breakthrough. How to actually be a part of it. See, David said, God used me. He said, I love that translation there in the NLT where it says that David said, God did it. God did it, David exclaimed. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. In other words, David said, God did it, but I had something to do with it. You know, in the fact that God used me. Now, we can't take a whole lot of credit. You know, the Bible talks about the Apostle Paul, how God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Yes. God, the King James wrought, worked. Right. God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. Yeah. All God said is, Paul, I just need your hands. Yeah. That's not, our part isn't really that big.
Amen.
right? You know, our part isn't that big, but thank God, God lets us be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Now, so how many would say, you know, yeah, man, I've needed a breakthrough before. And maybe you need one today. Well, how do we get from where we're at, that stuck place, to we're broke through to what God has for us? Well, I want to talk about how to pray for that, how to do that. Because the Lord began dealing with me. He began dealing with me about some things. So, you know, you can let things slip. How many know that? I mean, you can walk in some things in previous years, and then if you don't pay attention, the Bible talks about that we can let those things drift, or we drift away. Or we let them, the King James says we let them slip, but they're in Hebrews chapter 2, but it really means that we drift away. We just slowly drift away. You don't realize you're doing it, but you slowly drift away. And God began to deal with me. He said, you know, some of these things you've kind of drifted away from yourself. And I thought, well, you know, that's the truth. I mean, you just got to, you know what I'm saying? God knows. You know, you like to tell God, well, I think you better look again, Lord. I mean, you know. I mean, you really obviously don't know who you're talking to. I mean, Mr. Right, you know. But how do you know we're not, right? Amen? Amen. You know, it's like Red Skelton said. He said, you know, I knew my wife's name was right. I didn't know it was always. Well, how do you know we're not always right? God's always right, right? Right? Some of you don't know who Red Skelton is, but anyway, all right. Now, you know, see, the thing of it is we can all drift. And God began to deal with me. So, you know, some of these things you've let drift, and you knew them, and you walked in them, and now you hit miss. And so you need to get back on it. And I recognize praying with people that we still need some tuning up in this area. You know, I used to, cars are a little different than they were years ago, but usually you had to tune them up. You had to put distributor cap points, plugs in them, timing, you know, all that. And all that stuff's changed now. It's different now, you know. I mean, my gosh, to change a spark plug today, you got to take part of the motor off or something, or, you know, to get to the spark plug. This is ridiculous. But sometimes, you know, I had a Chrysler Cordoba, and that thing just never did run right, you know, with the rich Corinthian leather. Me old enough, remember that commercial? Yeah. Ricardo Montalban, you know? Yeah. Rich Corinthian leather. I think mine had rich Corinthian vinyl. But anyway, that thing never did run right. You know, it just wouldn't run right, you know? And as a matter, you have to tune them up, you know? And sometimes, you know, our faith isn't, and the things in our life aren't running right. And, you know, we need a tune-up. We need things tuned up. And so That's kind of like the Lord was saying to me, you know, yeah, you used to walk in these things, and you still do hit and miss. You do at times, but it's a hit and miss thing. And so he said, you need to get back and tune your faith up. So we're, you know, because I don't know about you, but, you know, I need some breakthroughs in some areas. Amen. And I want them. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to talk about praying for a personal breakthrough. Now let's go in our Bible, and this, I don't know, we may look at one more scripture after this, we'll see. But let's go to Matthew chapter 22, or 21, Matthew 21. And I want to talk to you about this because there is a way to receive a personal breakthrough. Now we're not talking about breaking through for your neighbor. You understand that? We're talking about you. Everybody say me. We're talking about, say it again, me. See, a lot of times we try to take the principles of the Word of God that apply to us and apply it to them. And it doesn't work that way. Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. Come on, can anybody finish that? And you shall have it. He didn't say whatever you want your neighbor to have. Now, what you want your neighbor to have may be a good thing, but how many know they got to be a part of it? They got to be in agreement. You know, Brother Kenny talking about the prayer of agreement. Well, agreement means you're both agreeing on it. I've heard Brother Hagin say, pray the prayer of agreement with people before, and, you know, and then they'd come back to him and say, you know, well, it doesn't work. And he said, well, what happened? Well, nothing happened. And they said, you know, but I didn't much think it would. Well, they weren't praying the prayer of agreement. They weren't in agreement that it was going to happen. See, I didn't much think it would. Well, that tells right there, you're not in agreement.
That's right.
See, you're not in agreement. You know, agreement means we agree it's done. Not going to be done. It is done. We may not see it right yet, but it's going to happen. Amen. And so a lot of times people will try to take these principles that are just for personal use, and they will try to apply them and use them for their family members and so forth. And there's faith in everything we do, but sometimes the principles are a little different. Sometimes that person may need some intercession. They may need some things broken off of them before they're in a position to receive anything from God. But you, if you're born again and you're a child of God, it's just one step for you. Do what the Bible says, and bam, you're there. Hallelujah. So we're talking about personal breakthrough today, all right? Now, let's go here to Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things. Now, how many things is all things? Well, this will cover everything, right? Everything that we could possibly need in life is covered by this verse. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. Now, you know, I've talked about this before, but I want to mention it again. I've seen those signs, and they're good signs, nothing wrong with them, but I just want to kind of fine tune it a little bit. You ever seen the sign that says prayer changes things?
Yeah.
I've been at churches before and see the sign, prayer changes things. But when you think about that, if we got to know a little bit more about it than just that. Because if prayer changed things, everything would be changed. It's believing prayer that Jesus said changes things. You know, he talked about the Pharisees praying, and he said they were hypocrites, right? Don't go home and throw away your prayer changes things sign, okay? But just go home and realize that, you know, yeah, prayer does change things, but it has to be believing prayer. That's what Jesus said right here. He said what things, you know, in the Mark's account, he said what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. But here he said all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That means that would change anything that needs to be changed. In other words, this believing prayer changes things. It causes breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what we're going to get into today, and you say, well, Pastor, this is elementary. I know it is elementary, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you why most people don't have this down. And if you do have it down, like me, I thought I had it down, but you never have anything down like you think you have down. By the time you think you got it down, you don't have it down, right? By the time you think, Brother Hagin, you say, by the time you think you've arrived, your feet will be where your head used to be. All right, so we have to keep pressing, right? So, but you know, you know, we still need tuned up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You know, like the old cars, like, you know, you didn't have to rebuild the engine, but you just had to do some tuning up on them.
Oh,
I mean, they'd sputter, and you know, some of those cars, man, some of those old cars in our days, man, oh, those were sweet. I mean, come on, man. Man, you know what? Some of those cars, some of the old Chevelles and Cobras and Mustangs and Camaros and Chargers and Vegas and Pintos and hallelujah. I mean, man. Barracudas, remember the Barracudas? Anybody don't remember them? The GTOs. Man, those cars would go down the road. I mean, you know, you didn't have to have a white line to pass with those. It could be double, triple yellow line, man, you can pass. You had time. Oh my. Hallelujah. Why were we so dumb to let those things rust and rot and sell them? You know, I was watching this, what is it called? It's a auction, car auction. Meekum car auction. And they brought this Shelby Mustang. Now, I bought a brand new Mustang for over $4,000. This Shelby Mustang sold for $4,000-some-odd. And I forget what year it was, but it was in the 70s. And it sold for that. The person bought it, the Shelby Mustang. They sold it at the auction for $300-some-thousand. I said, if we'd have just bought a few of them and put them up on blocks, hallelujah, we'd all be sitting pretty, wouldn't we? But you know what the problem was? We didn't have $4,000 back then. It was like $350,000 to us. Come on, let me know what I'm talking about. I had to borrow money to buy the $4,000 Mustang. Amen. Now, so prayer, not just prayer, but believing prayer changes things. Now, you have to ask yourself when you're praying, am I praying the prayer of faith? Now, we're going to talk about what that really is or some of the things about that and tune ourselves up a little bit in that, because that's how you get a personal breakthrough, is when you learn to really pray the prayer of faith. Now, James, you know the book of James. Have you ever read the book of James? James was Jesus' half-brother. In other words, he lived in the same house with Jesus. Now, the amazing thing about it, and this is something, when you think about it, you know, you think, wow, if I live with Jesus, woo, hallelujah, that would be awesome. But did you know James lived with Jesus and his other brothers, I don't remember all their names, Jose, and there was a few others, whatever, Jose. I don't know, he had a few brothers and sisters. Did you know that they didn't believe in him until later? Actually, until after his resurrection, before they believed in him. He appeared to 500 brethren after his resurrection. 500 brethren, talking about believers, people. And it wasn't until after his resurrection that his own family, I'm not talking about Mary, don't throw any stones at me, but his own brothers didn't. We have a doctrinal issue here. How could Mary be a virgin if she had more kids? Okay, where? But anyway, all right. Well, that's just a thought came to me. You know, the Virgin Mary, she must have not stayed a virgin. She was a virgin when she had Jesus. I mean, all that. Oh, well. You know, it's something about when you read a Bible, it just like knocks some stuff off. You know, it's like that. Well, that wasn't right. They told me Mary stayed a virgin all throughout of her life. Well, no, she had other kids. See, now you ex-Catholics are all mad at me. Jesus. It's okay. I mean, if you want to believe that, it's not heaven or hell, but just read the Bible and it'll clear some things up for you, all right? Amen. You know, like Peter was the first pope and he had a wife. Anyway. Well, that's before they made those rules. Okay, all right. Help me get that James was Jesus' half-brother. Now, he lived in the household with Jesus, right? Do you think that Jesus, he would have learned some things just by watching Jesus live his life? Of course he did. He's the one that told us in his book, in his epistle, that if you don't pray in faith, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Didn't he say that? James chapter 1, he said, let him not, if you doubt, he said, let him ask in faith, and if you doubt, don't expect to receive anything of the Lord. Now that's what he said. This is not some modern-day faith preacher with a new sermon. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. He's also the one that said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him the prayer of faith. And he went on down to say, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, which must mean the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much that he's talking about is the prayer of faith. Because that's what he said, pray. You follow my logic? If he said, pray the prayer of faith, and then two verses later, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That must mean he's calling the prayer of faith the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, which means it's a prayer that changes things, which means it's a prayer that causes breakthrough. Well, how do we pray the prayer of faith, Pastor? Well, I want to share with you some things. Just, I don't know, we could call them steps, I guess, to believing prayer, praying the prayer of faith. You know, here's the first step I want to give you. You ready? There's five of these. Well, all right, if you're not ready, I'll wait. There's five of these. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Number one is you have to find the scriptures that promise you what you're praying for. You have to find the scriptures that promise you what you're praying for. How many know God's not obligated to provide for you anything he didn't promise you? He didn't say it. He's not obligated. But if he said it, he's obligated himself by covenant to bring it to you. So you have to find the scripture. Because we used to pray for things that weren't scriptural. In our beginning days, didn't we, Pastor? Yeah, we prayed for things that later on we learned that was dumb. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll leave that alone. Anyway, I told Phyllis once, when we first got married, some of the things that before I learned that I used to believe God and pray for, and she was like, oh my gosh, can I get an annulment? No, it's too late. I don't know. She may still think that at times. I don't know. How many understand? You have to learn. You have to grow. It was just ignorance. But thank God we had zeal. That's the problem that we have today is get some zeal in some people to even go after anything. Yeah. But we went after it, man. And, through teaching, through growth, through just, trial and error, knocks on the head, we learned, well, wait a minute here. And listen to me. Oh, I tell you one guy that wrote a book that really helped us out a lot. And I want to mention this today. Dr. Frederick Casey Price went to heaven. For those of you that know Dr. Price, he was 89 years old. He went to heaven yesterday. Yeah, 89, went to heaven yesterday. What a great Word of Faith teacher he was. And he was afraid of nobody or nothing. He was a bear, man, in faith. And he wrote a book, and he helped us all out. It was called Faith, Foolishness, Presumption. We read that book and said, oh, my gosh, we've done all three. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. But he began to, and Brother Hagin, too, began to teach us, look, faith, you can't be asking for things and believing for things the Bible doesn't promise you. Amen. God promised to meet your need, but he didn't promise to, give you 10,000 oil wells to do it. Right? He just said he'd meet your needs. He didn't tell you how he's going to do it. Matter of fact, that's not your part. Your part's just to believe he's going to do it. He can use a lot of different ways. Amen. Hallelujah. He could, God's got I learned this word from Pastor Jerry. I don't know big words like this, but he taught me this word. He's got a plethora of ways to get things to you. Amen? Yes. Just looking for a place to use that word. Hallelujah. Amen. Plethora. Amen. You can go look it up like I did. Yeah. You have to find the promise in the scriptures. And you got to remember this while you're doing that. Remember, it's the word that feeds your faith. So you want your faith. See, sometimes I think we just rush into prayer too quick. We don't feed our faith and get ready to pray and make a petition to God. A formal request. So number one, you got to find the scriptures. See, the Bible tells us that his entrance of his word gives you light. Amen. Number two, this may seem simple, but you have to pray and ask God for what you desire. Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. James said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus spent his last hours with his disciples exhorting them, ask the Father, ask the Father, ask the Father. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. That's right. See, a lot of times, I wouldn't want to ask God. I wouldn't want to bother God. Well, you've already done that. He had to send Jesus to Calvary. I'd say that kind of was a bother. Think you bothered him a little bit there? So, and you hear people, they get religious, no, I wouldn't ask for that. I wouldn't ask, I wouldn't ask God for money. I wouldn't ask God for this. Well, do you need it? Well, see, you got to find, am I promised this in the Word of God? Yeah, we're promised that God will meet our needs, right? That doesn't mean we can sit home and not work. He also said work. So you had to read the whole book. Right? You can't just lay around and say, well, I'm going to do what pastor said. You know, I'm going to ask God for my, why do I go to work tomorrow? I'm supposed to snow anyway. Why go to work? I'm going to do what pastor said. I'm going to lay around. God, give me money. No, no. He said some more things about it. You got to find everything he said about it. It's like Pastor Jerry comes to your, can I get this? He didn't even ask now. But you have to kind of be specific or he'll take the whole fridge. You leave that alone. That's mine. Amen. See, how many know God said more than one thing about the subject, so you got to find out what he said about the subject. All right. So, but when you find the scriptures, you know, then you can ask and God will give it to you. So I told you a story, and this is really true. This doesn't happen to me where I hear this, the voice, I don't mean audibly, but I hear the voice of God so strong that it's almost like it's audible inside of me. But I was walking up my stairs, my studies over the garage upstairs, and I was walking up it one day, and I had I forget what was wrong with me now. It might have been a foot issue. I can't remember what it was now for sure, but I had something physically wrong with me, and I'm walking up the stairs, and I'm just thanking God. I said, Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. I heard this just as plain as could be. He said, you haven't asked me. And I thought, well, you know what? I haven't asked him. I'm just thanking him. He was right. In other words, I hadn't done. See, what we have with God's an asking covenant. It's an asking covenant. I'm talking about for our personal needs, see. And so when I got upstairs, I asked God for my healing. And you know what? I got healed. And I thought, well, I learned a lesson then. You know, yeah, you want to thank God, absolutely. But, you know, let's do it in the proper steps. Amen. Number three. This is where a lot of people get in trouble right here. Number three. You have to believe you've received when you pray. Mark 11:24, we know that scripture, right? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you believe you've received them? When? All right. If you don't get this, you'll just do without. If you're a believer, you know. And you know, you listen, if you come to this church, you've been coming for a while, you should know, right? God has mercy on babies, you know, young people, young babes in the Lord. But none of us, most of us here aren't going to fit that category. So if we don't do it this way, we'll just do without. Because this is the laws. Amen. You can't just, you know, like you can't just like, you know, call the appliance guy and say, you know, I just bought this new appliance off of you, maybe this new refrigerator, and it won't cool. And he comes over, and it's not plugged in. And he says, you don't have it plugged in. And you say, well, yeah, but it's close enough. I got it laying over there by the outlet. I mean, that's not good enough. You got to stick it in the wall. And with God and these things, sometimes we think, well, if I just get close enough, God will have mercy. Well, he's a merciful God, but he's not an irresponsible God. You're going to have to step it up and do it the way he said. So when do we believe we received? All right, so if we believe we received when we prayed, how do we know that ought to settle it? What? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, he said, everyone that asks receives. Didn't Jesus say that? Yes. Everyone. How many? Everyone. Everyone. Are you an everyone? Yes. Everyone that asks receives. Well, we know not everyone that asks has. See, there's a big difference between receive and have. Jesus said, when you pray, what things you ever desire, believe you what? Receive. You what? Receive. You receive them and you shall
have
them. So receive and have two different things. If you don't get this, it messes you up. Received means God's released it.
Yes.
Have means you possess it.
Yes. Amen.
Huge difference between receiving and possessing.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. I mean, there's some children, when they're born, they are born rich. Because of the family they were born into. I heard a man say, you know, when his granddaughter was born, because he's a rich guy, he said, when my granddaughter was born, I held her in my arms and said, you better be glad you were born into this family. Because she's rich. She didn't have a thing. She didn't even have any clothes on. Yeah, well, maybe it covered up with a diaper or something, but whatever. And a beanie on her head. That's all she has. But there's something coming. Hallelujah. There's a day she's going to have. You know, along the way. You know, I mean, I had someone one time said, you know, I want you to be the executor or whatever they called it of our estate. Because they had some money. And they said, you know, we don't want our daughter having it. She was like 12. We don't want her to have it until she's 18. So if we pass on, will you take care of it? I said, yeah, I'll do that for you. You know, it was, you know, someone I knew well. And I said, yeah, I'll do that for you. What were they saying? Well, it belongs to her, but I don't want her having it yet. There's a good reason why you don't want, no offense to 12-year-olds. Some of them are smarter than 50-year-olds. But there's a good reason why most 12-year-olds don't need a couple million dollars. There's a real good reason. There's a real good reason why a lot of 50-year-olds don't need a couple million dollars. And so they asked me, so what are we saying here? Well, it, you know, the moment that they passed on, it belongs to her. It's in the will. But I have charge of it. See, it's not mine to take. It's just mine to dole out a little bit at a time as she needs it until she gets 18 and she can have the whole thing. I don't even think that she'd have been 18. It probably should have been 46, but anyway. Or at least 26. You know what I'm saying. 18, you might not be ready. You might be. You might not. You might. It just depends, you know, where your head's at. Mine wasn't. I wasn't ready at 18 to have $2 million. Amen. So haven't you got what I just said there? See, so Jesus said, everyone that ask receives. Well, that means it's been given to you, but you have to believe right then you got it. Right then. That means your conversation should change. Your actions should change. Well, it's on its way, baby. You know, I love this story in the Old Testament. We don't have time to read it, but Samuel, remember Prophet Samuel? His mother's name was Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She had no children. And, you know, this other, her husband, Elkanah, he was married to, he had two wives. The guy, he didn't have everything going on in his head, but he had two wives. And so he had two wives. One of them was fruitful. I mean, bearing children. One of them wasn't. And Hannah went into the temple of the Lord and she began to pray and ask God, petition God to have a child. And when she did, she Eli, the priest, he's there, he's sitting there watching and she's praying, but she's praying just quietly. You know, her lips are moving, but not hearing any sound. And so Eli looks at her and he thinks she's drunk. Remember that story? And Eli said, put away your wine from you, woman. He was just real blunt about it. He didn't say, come into the office for counseling. He said, put your wine away. You know? And so she said, oh, no. I'm not a handmaiden of Belial. Look, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. And I came here to ask the Lord for a child. And Eli said to her, he said, go your way. The Lord grant your petition. Go in peace. That's all he said to her. Go in peace. The Lord grant you your petition. And the Bible said she got up and her countenance was no more sad. Did you hear that? She changed. From that point on, as far as she was concerned, she had a son. Hallelujah. Now, she wasn't pregnant yet, but as far as she was concerned, it was done. Off the word of the priest. Well, what about our high priest? What about going off of his word? And when we pray, go our way, no more sad, no more acting like we're defeated, no more acting like we still need a breakthrough. But believe we got something. This is real praying, the prayer of faith. This is real believing prayer. And this is exactly why the Lord was dealing with me and saying, well, sometimes you're hitting the sun, sometimes you're not. Look, I'm not scolding you. I'm preaching to you. This is good preaching. You ought to have a smile on your face. My Lord Jesus, what do I got to do to pump you up? I mean, think about it. This is God Almighty telling us this. This isn't some salesman.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
This is God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on, man. I'm not giving you some robocall here. This is the gospel. Answer the number.
Come on.
Let me get those robocalls. Oh, man, I got one. This guy called me. He said the IRS was looking for me and said that he told me, he said I was going to jail. I threw the guy a loop. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, man, free food, free lodging, free clothing. Come and get me. He goes, well, it wouldn't be that good. I didn't even have to hang up on him. He hung up. He's like, man, this guy's disconnected, man. Yeah. So listen now. How many know if we believe, that's what the Bible says. How many know I'm not making this up? This is Mark 11:24. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have it. When do you believe you receive? When you pray. Not when you have it. When you prayed. Now, what does that mean? That means that I don't just keep pestering God for it over and over and over again. I don't just keep bringing it back up. That's unbelief. Right? Number four. Listen to this now. Number four, let every subsequent prayer be a statement of thanksgiving. In other words, you know, and I've observed this, that when I've prayed the prayer of faith for something, a breakthrough or something, I've observed that I need to keep that prayer alive sometimes. Right? Or I forget about it, or it dies. It can die if you don't keep it alive. If you're spiritual, understand what I'm talking about. You can just let your faith go off of it. See? So what I've learned is, here's the way you do it. You come back to God and you just thank Him for it.
Amen.
You can remind Him, you know, Lord, remember I prayed that prayer of faith. I prayed for that. Thank You for it. Praise God. Thank You. I have it. Glory to God. I've already received it. I received it when I prayed, but I thank You I have it. When you do that, you just keep it alive and you're not getting any unbelief. I had a lady ask me one time, and this is really good. She said, Pastor, she actually had cancer in her body. I mean, deadly cancer. And we prayed for her and believed God for her healing. And she asked me, she said, Pastor, would it be all right if every time you had a prayer line, I come up and you prayed for me? I said, well, under the right circumstances, it would. I said, here's the way you'd have to come to do that. You'd have to come and say, thank God I've already received. I'm just receiving more anointing.
Amen.
And you know, she did that. She would do that faithfully every service. Bam, there she'd be. Bam, there she'd be. And one day, there she was. I'm praying for people. I remember she was standing right there. I'm praying for people. I come down here. I get ready to lay my hands on her. And out of my mouth came, it's over. It's over. It's over. She went back to the doctor and she was totally healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But see, she wasn't coming back asking God over and over and over again. She was just receiving more of His anointing.
Yes.
See, I'll go back to God. Thank You, Lord. I believe I've received it. I already have received it. I don't need to ask You for it again. I've already got it. But I thank You I have it. Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm thanking You I have it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, this may seem simple, but it's really, you got to stay within the bounds of the spiritual laws that are set up. Amen? All right. Number five. This is the fifth one. Let every thought affirm that you've received it and cast down those that don't. You know, the devil will attack your mind. Matter of fact, that's where the battleground's at, is in your mind. Amen? So you have to let every thought affirm that you've received it. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have doubt thoughts come at you. You will have. But you have to cast those down. What we're saying is, when we say, let every thought affirm that you received it, those thoughts that you keep, Those thoughts that you meditate, those thoughts that you speak out, those thoughts that you act on, those are the thoughts that are controlling you. Not just every little thought comes through your mind. Right? I mean, you know, we all have all kinds of thoughts come through our mind, but we don't act on them all. Amen? I mean, I've had good thoughts, bad thoughts, ugly thoughts. Am I the only one? Do I need to kneel and pray here today and get right with God or what? Am I the only one that has these kind of things? I mean, I've had thoughts, you know. I've had thoughts when I'm driving and somebody's driving like real slow before me. And I'm like, get off your stupid phone. And I think, wait a minute, that's not Christ-like. Get off your phone, please. Come on, how many know what I'm saying? You have thoughts about what I would do with you if I could get up beside you with my vehicle and, you know. And then you think, wait a minute, I can't act on that thought. That's not right. Pastor's not supposed to run people off the road. You know what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, your neighbor throws his beer can in your yard, you throw it back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have thoughts. I'm coming over this fence. You want all 5-7 of me at once, or you want it parked a little bit at a time? I mean, those are not thoughts you're supposed to act on. Am I the only one that has thoughts like that? We all have thought. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Like a friend of mine says, don't do that. You have got too much left. Anyway. We have thoughts of doubt. You can't. I just want you to be. I want to be real with you and make sure you understand. You can't stop those thoughts of doubt coming. But those are not the ones we act on. Those are not the ones we meditate on. Those are not the ones we keep. Those are not the ones we speak. Those are not the ones we let rule our life. We cast those down and say, no, you can't stay here. I'm not acting on you. You're a wrong thought. You're not a God thought. Paul said to think on good thoughts, didn't he? Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, let's close out here. Most people, let me back up. Many people struggle. Here's why many people struggle with believing prayer. It's because their focus is too much on their circumstances. Do you remember the story when Israel got in trouble again? Again? And so, They've been speaking against Moses and against God, you know. And fiery serpents came among them. How many remember that story in Numbers 21? Fiery serpents came. And the Bible says that bit many of them and much of the people died. And they cried out to Moses and Moses prayed. And God said, hey, he said, put a serpent on a pole. Put a serpent on a pole. Remember that story?
Yeah.
He said, put a serpent on a pole. And then God told them, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. But God told them this. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Listen to this. This word looketh means to gaze. You know what gaze means? It means to fix. I don't mean just glance at. That means to gaze, to stare. Amen. You ever said something dumb and your wife gazed at you? Pastor Jerry said, yeah, it's been going on for 30 years.
Yeah,
40.
Almost 40.
Almost 40. Yeah, because he's always saying something dumb. But anyway, now, he got it from Dustin. I'm making a point, whether you believe this or not. Gaze means you fix your sight on it. So let's read it that way. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone is bitten, when he gazes upon it, shall live. And Moses made a fiery serpent of brass. He put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now the word beheld, the serpent of brass, that word beheld means to look intently at. Look intently at. In other words, it's not just like glance at. How many know it'd be pretty hard to gaze at that serpent on the pole when you got serpents at your feet? That wouldn't be easy, would it? I don't know about you, you know. I mean, I'm okay with snakes. Phyllis doesn't like snakes. She does not like snakes. We had a brown snake living in our yard. And I just let him go. And then finally, she just put the law down on me. I mean, she laid down the law. She said, the next time you see him, you kill him. I said, well, he never did anything to me. He's always been kind to me. He never bit me. He said, why do I? She said, no, you kill him. He must have heard because I never saw him again. He's like, I'm out of Dodge. Amen. But how many know? Well, I'm making the point. See, circumstances are like that. They're like fiery serpents around your feet. But you have to have the gumption. You got to do like the Israelites and gaze on the answer out of the Word of God. You got to fix your focus on that. Hallelujah. And when you do that, praise God, you receive. Amen. Think about it. Abraham had fiery serpents all around him. What was his fiery serpents? The Bible said he considered not his own body. Now, Dad, neither Sarah's. Those were the fiery serpents or circumstances around his feet. He's an old man. He's 100 years old. She's 90. And they're going to have a son? That's a lot of fiery serpents. Remember, Peter's serpents was the waves, and he succumbed to his. Amen. But Paul said in the New Testament, he said, don't look at those things which you're seeing, but look at the things which are not seen. Hallelujah! For the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are just temporary. If you're going to beat the temporary, you got to look at the eternal. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, did you get a nugget today? Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.